Well, this week is the third week of Advent. Third week of Advent. And over the past few Sundays, we have been talking some about how to slow down, how to create some room in our hearts for Jesus. And so far, we've talked about hope, and we've talked about peace. Remember that? And we talked about the hope of Christ that carries us through difficulty, and how that future hope brings us present joy. And last week, we talked about peace and how we are to let the Prince of Peace rule and reign in our hearts, and to not be dethroned by fear and anxiety and stress. Right? Y'all remember that? Yes, yes. And this week we are talking about joy. We're talking about joy, and we're going to be reading from Luke chapter 2 today. Now, Luke chapter 2 is probably the best known of the Christmas texts and narratives from the Bible. And in Luke chapter 2, what happens in the beginning of it is that Mary and Joseph, you remember, they arrive in Jerusalem, and in Bethlehem. They arrive in Bethlehem, and they go there because of a census that the government was having. And when they got to Bethlehem, she was in labor, and there was no rooms to stay in, and so they end up in a barn, and Jesus is born in that barn. And then this is what happens next. This is Luke 2, and it's verses 8 through 14. So this is what happens next. There were shepherds. Oh, I'm going to strangle that car, right? No, oh, it stopped. Good. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy to all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So in this passage, we see that Jesus is born, and on that same night that Jesus is born, there goes out an announcement of the Messiah's birth to a group of shepherds. Now, did the announcement of the Messiah's birth go out to kings? Did it go out to rulers? Did it go out to the religious elites? Did it go out to the wealthy and the elites of Bethlehem? No. No. The announcement of the birth of Jesus went to a group of shepherds in a field. Now, shepherds were blue-collar, lower-class workers. They were not wealthy. And in fact, they were kind of socially awkward, right? Because they lived in the fields with their sheep. And so they were perhaps better with sheep than they were with people. And they smell bad. Do you know what they smell like? They smell like sheep. That's right, Doug. They smell like sheep, and that probably wasn't a very good smell. They were not elites. They were not dignitaries. They were not VIPs in their society, but they were on the low end of the rungs of the social ladder in their day. And they even had a reputation for being a little shady or maybe a little dishonest. And yet, this is to whom God chooses to make the first announcement of the Savior's birth. He doesn't give it to kings or rulers or Pharisees. He gives it to the shepherds. To the shepherds. Now, why would God do that? Why would God do that? Well, who else would he give the announcement to except those who needed to hear the good news the most, right? The shepherds needed some good news. They needed a Savior, and I think that's a good gospel reminder for each and every one of us. Now, there's an example of this today that I'll tell you about, and it's the story, the example is from the story of the Grinch. Anybody know that story? Maybe you've read the story of the Grinch, or maybe you've seen the movies about the Grinch, right? Can we get that picture up? There we go. There's the Grinch. And he's there with Cindy Lou Who. And you know, in the story, or in the movie anyway, Cindy Lou Who nominates the Grinch to be the cheermeister of their town called Whoville. And the people of Whoville, especially the mayor, they are not happy about this nomination. The mayor, he wants to be the cheermeister, and he kind of represents a crusty religious person, right? He thinks he deserves to be nominated based on his merits and his station in life. And yet Cindy Lou Who nominates the Grinch to be the cheermeister. Now, why is this? Because the Grinch doesn't like Christmas, and he is angry, and he is bitter. But if you remember what Cindy Lou Who says, she says, cheermeister is the one who deserves a backslap or a toast, and it goes to the soul at Christmas who needs it the most. So from Luke, there is this good news of great joy. And who does it go to? It goes to those who need it the most. The shepherds in their fields. And let me rephrase that. The gospel. The good news of Jesus, it is available to all, but often it is received by those who know that they need it the most. And that's why the Bible says that God opposes the proud, and he gives grace to the humble. The grace of God, it can never be achieved, but it can only be received with open and humble hearts. So that's a good gospel reminder for us, that when the Savior of the world was born, the good news of great joy was first heralded to those who needed to hear it the most, the shepherds in the middle of the night. The gospel goes out to all, but it's usually received by those who know that they need it the most. Now, I think that's especially good news. And that may be especially good news for you in this season. Maybe you are in a place where you are tired and you are weary. Maybe you are in a place where you're burned out and frustrated, or you are lonely and irritated. Maybe, like we talked about last week, you are in a place of fear and anxiety and stress in your life. Or maybe you're just feeling spiritually dry. Maybe your faith is feeling frail right now. And if that is you, let this be a good gospel reminder to all of us that the good news of great joy that Jesus offers at Christmas, that it goes to the souls who need it the most. And maybe that is you this morning. Now, after this announcement of the good news of great joy, the angels then announce something that is just spectacularly strange and kind of astounding. And we see this in Luke 2, verse 12. And the angels say this, "This will be a sign for you, that you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." So the angels say there's going to be a sign of this good news of great joy, and that they announce this to the shepherds in the field. And then, you know, what is the sign? Well, the sign of this good news of great joy is a baby wrapped in rags, lying in a feed trough in Bethlehem. Right? That's the sign. How strange. What a strange and backward sign that would seem to be. I mean, Mary and Joseph. We've got Mary and Joseph. They arrive in Bethlehem. She's in labor. They cannot find anywhere to stay or anything to stay in except this barn. And this is kind of an indication for us of just how poor and lower class Joseph was. He couldn't make anything else happen. And so his wife's in labor, and they stick her in a barn. And so Jesus, he's born into this family with no status, with no money. He has to be born in a barn. And he's placed then in a feeding trough. And then this world-changing announcement is made, right? Not to kings, not to religious leaders, but to shepherds in a field, that the king is here. And here will be a sign, right? Go find him in a feeding trough, in a barn. It's astonishing. And I think what's so spectacular about the birth of Jesus is just how unspectacular it actually is. A baby wrapped in rags lying in a feed trough. And here is a truth that I think we can take from this, that the joy of Christ is often found in the most unexpected of places. Now, a few weeks ago, we talked about hope. And I said that future hope gives us present joy, right? And I said I didn't want to pre-preach this sermon, but we did talk just briefly about joy. And I said that no matter what we are facing, no matter what we may be going through in life, that we can have joy because we know of the hope to come in Christ. And I explained how there was a difference between happiness and joy. And I said how happiness is really based on the external circumstances in our life, right? It's a beautiful day with a blue sky. I'm happy. I'm enjoying that. Well, then the weather suddenly changes and it's pouring down rain and I forgot my umbrella and then I'm sad and irritated because it's raining on me now, right? So happiness can be very fleeting and circumstances can change very quickly. And riding happiness is like riding an emotional roller coaster, emotional wave. Joy, on the other hand, joy is rooted in the goodness of God, which does not change. So that the Bible says, even in the most difficult of circumstances, we can still have joy. We may not be happy in the moment, but we can have joy because it is rooted in God's goodness. But we often miss that truth. And we often spend a lot of time pursuing happiness and pursuing happiness in all the wrong places. Let me explain. We often pursue happiness in comfort. Do you like comfort? I mean, I like comfort. I like to be comfortable, right? We like comfort. We are creatures. We are creatures of comfort, right? Some of us perhaps more than others, but we are creatures of comfort. We like things to be right. We like things to be comfortable in our life. Well, if I'm too hot, I want to be a little bit cooler. If I'm too cold, like today, I want to be a little bit warmer, right? If I'm suddenly hungry, I want to eat. I don't like being having discomfort in my life, right? You ever hear people talk about being hangry? That's a made-up word, right? Hangry. It means that they're hungry, and then about 10 minutes after they say they're hungry, you better watch out because they're going to get angry about it, right? They're not comfortable. They're not happy. They want to eat. And so we want comfort, but comfort is fickle because it can change. It can change in seconds, right? You can eat, and then you know what? You can even eat a big meal, say, oh, I can't eat anything else. And then before you know it, what happens? You're hungry again, right? Well, you want to eat. You don't want to get hangry, right? So it can change very, very quickly. But this is often a place where we try to find happiness, is in our comfort. We want to be comfortable at all costs, and we will pursue happiness even in this fickle thing of comfort. Another place that we often search for happiness is in consumerism, and that's certainly on full display at this time of year, right? Consumerism, getting stuff, and you know, we like our stuff, and sometimes even our stuff can begin to define who we are and what we are about, and our identity can get very wrapped up in our stuff. And you know, psychologically, you can even see where people can find an emotional high from making, particularly a large purchase, but from purchasing things, right? It feels good for some of us to consume in that way, and we seek happiness in that consumption. But if you seek happiness through consumption, again, it is fickle because, well, you know, just as an example, every year, you know, the new iPhone comes out, right? And a lot of people, they want that new iPhone, latest technology, greatest screen, all of these things. And so you spend a lot of money, you get this new iPhone, and then what happens? Well, before you know it, the next new iPhone is coming out with even the latest and greatest technology. And what you've gotten that made you so happy is now it's the old stuff, right? And so you know, then you've got to get the new thing to keep up with the latest and greatest. And so we seek happiness and satisfaction through consumerism, but it's fickle and it will let us down. The third place that we often look for happiness that's a wrong place to look for happiness is in this, and this may hit home for some of us. We look for happiness in control. Control. We like to be in control. And sometimes we'll parlay comfort and consumerism to try to gain control, right? It's like the more comfortable I am, the more stuff I can amass for myself, the more in control I will feel about my life. And I'm seeking happiness there. We want to be in control of our lives. We want to be in control of our destiny. It makes us feel safe. But control is an illusion. It doesn't take much to unravel that illusion of control. You can feel like you're in control of everything in your life, and one phone call can change everything. Maybe it's a loved one who's died. Maybe there's been a tragic accident. Maybe you've just gotten that phone call that you've lost your job. One phone call, it's that fickle. It comes and goes that easily. Control, it's an illusion. But nevertheless, we want control. We want to seek happiness through control, even though it's an illusion and can be gone in a moment. And so we seek happiness through comfort and consuming and control, but it is fickle. And these are fleeting, and they can be gone in a moment, and with them, our happiness can be gone in a moment. However, the joy of Jesus, it is often found in unexpected places and the opposite places of what I've just described, right? Just as the good news of Jesus was arrived in a barn in Bethlehem, we often find the joy of Jesus in the most unexpected places. First, we can find joy. This is going to sound really weird, but we can find joy in suffering. We often seek happiness through comfort, but the reality is that we may just find joy in our suffering. Now, we don't want to suffer. We don't want to be uncomfortable, right? But often we can see in the Bible that joy will come through suffering and discomfort. Now, please hear what I am not saying. I am not saying that we should go out and seek to suffer. I'm not saying that we should be miserable Christians. But what I am saying is this, is that the joy, that true joy, which is rooted in the goodness of God, can often be discovered even in the midst of suffering. The brother of Jesus, James, he says it all. In James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, he says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." Now, I like how James says this when he says, when you meet trials of various kinds. Note, James doesn't say if you meet trials of various kinds. He says when you meet trials, right? Life just has its ups and downs about it, right? It's good seasons and it's tough seasons. And you know, if you are living a life that is always on a high, always on the mountaintop, never having any issues or loss or despair or grief, well, first of all, let me just say, you're kind of a freak, okay? I mean that in the best possible way, because that is not normal. That is not normal in our existence. And second of all, you may really be living a very shallow existence, because if you open up and are vulnerable in building relationships with other people, then invariably you are going to experience grief and loss and despair. It's part and parcel when you experience these things, James says. When we experience trials of various kinds, and you pick up on what he said, when we experience trials of various kinds, count it all joy, my brothers. Count it all as joy. And so if you're constantly seeking out comfort to avoid suffering, then you may not be able to withstand the storm when it comes. It will blow you off your feet. But God wants us to be a people who are tempered by suffering and thereby can find joy even in our suffering as we live our lives to the fullest. And when suffering comes, even so, we are to remain rooted in the goodness of God, which is unchanging and which will bring us joy unspeakable, full of glory. The second unexpected place we may find joy is in service, right? As opposed to consumerism, service. The Apostle Paul says in Acts 20, verse 35, he says, "In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" Now, do you realize how countercultural that is? It is more blessed to give than to receive. The world teaches us the opposite, that it's more blessed to receive than to give, right? He with the most toys at the end wins. Oh, that's what the world teaches, right? This is so ingrained in us that even sometimes when we do give or when we do serve, we do it with kind of an ulterior motive, right? Well, this will look good on my resume, right? Or this will bring me happiness to go and serve. And it may, but you know, it's almost as if we want to receive something even when we give and serve. But the Bible says it is more blessed to give than to receive. Sometimes we even get this consumerist mindset in the church. Have you ever heard the term church shopping? Anyone? Right? It just means, like, sometimes people are looking for a church and they're kind of going around from church to church, and even if it's unstated, the question is kind of like, what can this church do for me? How can this church serve me? How can this church meet my needs, right? And give me the things that I like and that I want. And it's good if a church can do those things for you, but it kind of puts it into this shopping mentality of what the church can do for me. Imagine, brothers and sisters, imagine the impact the church has or can have when we say, instead of how can the church serve me and meet my needs, we say, how can we go out and serve others? How can we bless people in our church and in our community? And think of that first. Can you imagine the impact the church has when we put that it's better to give than to receive as our primary focus of the church? The third unusual place that we may find joy this Advent is in surrender. Surrender as opposed to control. Control is an illusion. It doesn't take much to destroy that illusion and to remind us of who is really in control. This is what Jesus says in Matthew 16, 24. He says, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Now again, that's very countercultural. The world would tell us that fulfillment and happiness will come in looking out for me, looking out for ourselves, right? In self-preservation, in being in control. But Jesus tells us that ultimate joy, ultimate fulfillment comes not in finding your life, but in losing your life in Him, in surrendering to Him, in letting go in Him. And so we as believers, we're called to simply surrender. And it's often in that place of surrender that we will find the deepest wellspring of joy. And we can rest in the reality that we are not God. We are not in control of everything. And that God is God. And that He's got this. And that He is with you and for you and He loves you. So, in this season, maybe you are experiencing a time of suffering. And I just want to encourage you to stay rooted in the goodness of God, which does not change. Be deeply rooted in His goodness, knowing that whatever may happen or may not happen, that God is good and that He is here for you. And you may not be experiencing much happiness in your life in this season, but my prayer for you is that in Christ you will let joy unspeakable filled with glory be a wellspring within your life, even in these difficult circumstances. Now, maybe that's not you. Maybe in this season for you, you are feeling a bit consumeristic, and it's kind of hard not to in this season, right? We are often driven by consumerism. And I would just encourage you, if that's where you are, is to really work to get out of yourself. To get out of yourself, to go and serve others. To be generous. It's better to give than to receive. Maybe you are here today and you're saying, yeah, Pastor, I am a control freak. I like to be in control. I do, right? And maybe you're stressing yourself out trying to maintain this illusion of control. And I would just say to you, just surrender. Give it up to Jesus, who is the one who is truly in control. And brothers and sisters, you will set yourself free. And just as the joy of the world was found in the most unlikeliest of places, right? A feeding trough and a barn in Bethlehem some 2,000 years ago, even now, the joy of Christ is available to each of us. But it may just be found in places you least expect. Joy is often found in the midst of suffering and service and surrender. And you might have to look in some odd places, but the joy of Jesus is there for each one of us to find. Amen. Amen. Jesus, You are our joy. And You want us to be happy and to have joy and live our lives to the fullest. But even as we often struggle in the midst of suffering and heartache, You are still good. And You have a joy that carries us through and that sustains us. And we thank You. And I pray this morning that we would not be a people who chase the winds of comfort or consumerism or control, but that we would seek Your joy as we live our lives through suffering and service and in surrender. We thank You for the gift You are to us, Jesus. And may our Christmas season be full of joy unspeakable, filled with glory. In Your name we pray. Amen.